The Auditorium, a huge new 3,200-seat worship and teaching space at Colorado's Karis Bible College, had to be completely outfitted for sound, video, and lighting. They called in local AVL contractor Acoustec. Karis AVL engineer Nate Carter and Acoustec Roland Dutzman are here to give us the story coming up on the SVC Podcast. Roland and Nate, good to have you with us on the SVC Podcast, coming to us from Karis Bible College in Woodland Park, Colorado. Long way from us in Atlanta, so it's nice to have this kind of connection quality.
Modern technology.
Tell me, Nate, about Karis Bible College and their plan for the auditorium. This was a complete, right from the beginning, brand new facility.
That's an interesting question. Because of the time frame that these building projects happened over, and this really kind of ripples through and affects every aspect of this install, there were redesigns even during the process of building the building, because it was built over a four-year period. So quite literally, as the building was getting built, the plan for that performance space was evolving. So it presented some design challenges and just things we had to move around and figure out as we were installing aspects of the audio video lighting system in phases. So it was an interesting challenge. It just required a lot of flexibility.
Yes, over that long period, there was time for the technology itself to march on.
Yes, indeed. And the construction took 4 years.
Yeah.
They actually started working on design, even on the auditorium phase, more than 8 years ago. So it went through a lot of morphing, for sure.
So plenty of time to catch up to whatever is out there that may have been new or not even around yet when you first started the planning.
Yeah, a few aspects of that. Yeah.
That's right.
And you two have worked together for a while now. Roland, tell me, how long has Karis Bible College worked with Acoustec? You guys go back a pretty good way, don't you?
Yes. It was either the fall of 2010 or 2011. We were contracted on to work on the design for this whole facility, which ended up being done in two phases so far. Phase one, which is called the barn, but is actually an 1,100-seat full performance space that can be set up for whatever conferences, dinners, whatever it might be, with full sound, lighting, and video. And then that was completed like January of 2014. And then shortly after that, they already began construction on the auditorium, which didn't complete till fall of 2018. And some aspects were still under construction this year, like a parking garage, et cetera. So we've been on it for quite a long time. And then Nate and I actually met right about at the opening of the barn in late 2013, early 2014.
Yeah, I started in this department originally as a volunteer, and I had come from a large, about 1,000, 1,500 person church in Texas. I came here without any intention, not for a job or anything like that, but it just, when we got connected here, I just kind of got connected to the vision, and eventually that led to a full-time job. But I literally met Roland as he was kind of mixing and commissioning and setting up for the first time. We had gotten in the barn just in time for rehearsals, basically the Saturday before we were going to be in there for school on Monday. So it's
fun.
Yeah, it was fun, but you know, it's always that, you know, mild breaking of sweat as you're getting every last thing in place. We don't really like to do that, but that's kind of ended up being the case with Karis Bible College and some arenas, is because we've really just for the last almost 8 years, but more closer to probably 6 years, we've been in an unprecedented time of growth and expansion. So we've just done and built so much in such a short time. It just tends to happen that way sometimes.
You two have been at it a good while. Tell me, what's the general design and layout of the main house sound system as far as speakers, amps, location of rack gear, and that kind of thing?
There's a very large, I'm going to call it an electrical room, but it's electrical, it's storage, it's audio rack room. It's got its own AC system, of course, to keep things cool. The main speaker system in the auditorium are three hangs of 10 Nexo S12 boxes, S1230s on the bottom, and then 9 S1210s. So three line array hangs of those, and then two hangs of four Nexo RS18 cardioid subs for each, two hangs. And all of that is powered by the Nexo Nexamp 4x4 power amplifiers, 4x4,000 watts. And then we have some under balcony fills that are actually JBL single 8 small boxes for under balcony fill. And up at the very top of the balcony, which wasn't originally there when we designed the Nexo system.
Part of the redesign, the whole balcony.
Part of the redesign, the balcony got deeper and taller. So, and because of height limitations and some sight line issues, we actually put six EAW MK2396 two-way boxes for the very upper back balcony fill, just to replace a little bit of the spectrum and level that's lost from the line arrays.
Okay, and you selected, I believe it was a Yamaha CL5 from the front of house mixer.
That's right.
And where do you have that?
Front center of balcony is a audio and video control booth. Now, what's done from there is obviously front of house mixing and lighting system operation and the iMac operator for presentation stuff to the screen.
Yeah, in-house graphics.
Okay, so you have all the tech guys right there shoulder to shoulder working together.
That's right. All the switching and all of their control of their camera systems, et cetera, there's actually a completely independent control room for all video production, for streaming, recording, everything. And right next to it, in its own little isolated room where we are sitting, is the multi-track audio room, which is audio for video.
Our broadcast mix, yeah.
With a CL5 also.
And one of the major things we've seen on the press release for this is the Klang Veer system for stage monitoring. What are the advantages you have with that?
I've been pretty much involved on the musician side with live sound since I was late elementary school. So I've been involved in tons of praise and worship setups. I've been on Avioms, I've been on monitor mixing console and having that feed. The thing I really liked about the Veer, after I kind of tested the demo, it was the first thing I've ever been on that felt like natural sound in a room. All the way through junior high and high school, I played in an orchestra. I was a violinist. And so I'm used to hearing all of this instrumentation and listening through mixes of things in an open space. And then you go from there, and whether it's an Avioms system or it's just a stereo pair out of a monitor console, everything's very flat. And for me, it feels unnatural. The beautiful thing about the Veer, I feel it's like the first thing in the market that really lets your brain relax. It makes it very easy and intuitive to monitor in a space, whether that space is in a large performance hall, in a studio. You get lots of options with the Veer system, and the audio quality is impeccable. The other aspect that, just as a technical aspect, I love the fact that it can integrate with virtually anything. It'll do like Dante, it'll take ADAT in. The larger unit will even take in some analog input. So it not only can operate as I/O, converting ADAT and, you know, light pipe, whatever you want to call it, into your Dante network, it gives you so much versatility for how you're going to work with your in-ears. That, coupled with just the stellar audio quality and the natural sound stage, it was just a no-brainer.
Yeah. Creating that sound stage in your head is really the big deal. Instead of just having two dimensions of left, right.
Oh, it's a big, yeah.
Having front, back added to that, it's a whole new world.
So up until we use the Klang unit, even in the older performance area, we use an Avioms implementation because we don't normally staff or plan in such a way to have a dedicated monitor mixer. And musicians generally like to just adjust their own mixes and save the presets and things like that. When they moved from an Avioms system and they started using and listening to Klang for the first time, you would have thought they were seeing for the first time. It was a massive thing. And now they like it so much they're starting to try and utilize both the barn and the auditorium simultaneously for things, and all the musicians are lobbying really, really, really hard
to be in the auditorium.
Yeah. Well, to be either A, do everything in the auditorium, or we have a proposal in right now that it will move forward at some point in the year that we're going to bring a Clang system into the previous performance space, because there really isn't a comparison at this point.
And so how do you get the signal actually into the musician's ears, the IEM transmitters and receivers?
So with the CL5s in the auditorium setup, we have a primary and secondary Dante network. All of the VIRs live on the primary, secondary, and then the analog outputs from those VIRs go to a couple rack spaces of Shure PSM-900s. And then each musician has whatever in-ear monitors they purchase for themselves, usually.
So. And some of the players are wired, but by wired, it's a cat cable to a Dante headphone amp sitting on a mic stand right by them, and they just plug in.
We implement some RedNet. They get power over Ethernet. It's super easy. So we basically just, in the design of the stage, Roland kind of distributed just some Cat 5.
Just some Cat jacks for that,
plug-in. And really all you have to do in a Dante network is they just go back to a PoE switch. And so it's a single cable. It'll power the RedNet AM2, and then people just plug their headphones directly in through there. And because it was decided to go with that Dante backbone, routing, connecting anything virtually, it's really very simple.
Yeah, I was going to ask how the learning curve was on that and how everybody kind of got used to it.
Well, thankfully, most of those people don't patch the Dante.
No, they don't. Yeah.
Karis has always had an interest in the technology from the gentleman that was running the technical department back when we did phase one. He was a big upgrade for the organization. And then Nate and actually his wife, Katie, really took over that position, and they have taken it to a whole new level. They are very technical and very adept. So a lot of that kind of stuff, they've got the expertise in Nate, and he's got some other people that have been trained under him. So they're really good at keeping those things ready. The musicians don't really have to get into that.
Yeah.
They just need to kind of know how to play with their mix, et cetera.
That learning curve has just been the Clang interface on personal mobile devices.
On their phone, iPad.
And they already know how to work those, so it's pretty simple for them to get into.
We are a school, so every 3 years we have like a whole new batch of volunteer musicians. So that learning curve, sometimes it's the first time they have ever used an in-ear monitor setup ever. But for the people who kind of live here and run that department, they basically felt like they got it in about 2 weeks. Like, you can go as deep as you want to, really, with Clang. You have the ability to like EQ within your own mix or within the system itself, just your channel. So you can be adjusting some simplified preset EQs across channels in your mix. Not everybody goes that deep, but at least the people who that's very beneficial to, they have the option for that. So it's a good thing.
So how was it getting all that in? Did you have to get in between events and things to get all that stuff installed?
Well, that's when this building was first open and started running. So we had a little more time this time around than on phase one. Another good thing about having such a good technical person on staff here, when we did the first audio run through with a band and singers and everything, I was up at front of house and Nate was down there mixing everybody's Clang systems to get them going. And he did an awesome job that you can imagine. You have 15 singers and players and everybody's trying to figure out what they're doing. He actually got them up and running. Then they could tweak from there. And that's like where it started. Now, of course, they're all more adept at handling that themselves.
And even in the auditorium, we got into that room to configure about a week and a half before school started. Again.
Hey, but that's a week and a half.
It is a week and a half. It's much better than like
2 days,
knocking everything in 2 days. But after we basically kind of have got everybody comfortable with the control system, essentially everybody, they just jump in, do their mix, save their own personal preset on device, and then they can just walk in on any day, pretty much no matter what has happened in the days preceding, because that room gets used for all sorts of things all the time. They just walk in, they can recall their personal mix settings, and boom, they're ready to go.
When something happens, what do you have to do to get that whole place ready for a major performance event, say testing everything so you know it's all working?
We're a department that's very big on creating SOPs, standard operating procedures. Because of the versatility of things that have come to live in that room, we have to create SOPs, because oftentimes we'll do a conference, and then on one given day of that conference, they'll do a performance, which means the LED wall comes in, gets built overnight, gets tested, video gets reconfigured, things are recall a scene on the CL5 to run like 12 actor mics at a time. I mean, we've got 22 hooked up and going, but we could not do what we do without creating the flexibility and infrastructure that the CL5 consoles, coupled with the Dante network, coupled with Clang, coupled with all of the video routing. So the way we tend to do things would not be possible prior to this digital age, in a way of saying that. But we can turn the whole building over in about 6 to 8 hours if need be. For performances, we use essentially a 13 by 40 foot LED wall, 22 headset mics, and then the whole graphics and playback scenario, that whole thing, we repatch that. With our setup, we basically do a lot of the engineering before the event happens. So when we go into it, we have a plan. We basically just pull it apart, put it into the configuration that we've already kind of like designed. And then as soon as it's done, we pull it apart and put it back, run through line check, signal test. So yeah, we can basically
go back to a worship band and speakers.
Yeah, straight from a theatrical performance with 85 cast members and stuff like that. So
that's great, having a plan in place. So all you have to do is knock down the first domino and hopefully have everything fall into place.
Ideally, yeah.
Well, I know you've got a lot going on there, and we appreciate your taking time out to do this. In part two, we'll get into lighting, communication, and mics. We've been talking to Roland Dutzman of Acoustec and Nate Carter, Karis Bible College AVL engineer, coming to us from Woodland Park, Colorado. Really enjoyed hearing about it.
Thank you. Our pleasure.
Yeah, nice to speak with you.
So now, with Clang Immersive Monitoring Systems on stage and the Yamaha CL5 at front of house, Karis Bible College has the auditorium ready to go for worship, teaching, and other events. Next week, Nate and Roland will give us the rest of the story on mics, intercom, and lighting. Get with us for that on the next SBC podcast.